Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
I invite you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32. I have a cousin named Brian Brazel. Brian has been the head coach and athletic director at Hebron High School in Louisville for 17 years. And this past season, they didn't have a great season. He's had a number of great seasons. But Brian, who is an awesome Christian man and speaks nationally, is also just one of the most entertaining people to be around that you've ever been around. And big guy, played lineman for TCU when he was in college, and also did the Greco-Roman Olympic wrestling style. And so knowing that, some of his students last spring wanted to wrestle him. Students aren't always known for being the sharpest knife in the drawer. And so Brian said, okay, we'll do that. And so the students picked out their biggest, strongest player. And somebody was there with their phone, and they videoed it, and it went viral. And you can, if you just Google Brian Brazel, Hebron High School, you can pull up that video and you can watch it where they began to wrestle. And this young man certainly was strong, but my 50-year-old cousin let him play with him as long as he wanted to, and then finally he took him, flipped him, and just threw him down and laid on top of him, and he gave. I enjoyed wrestling in high school. Now in Avenger, it was quite different than it is in any kind of organized sport. We would do that in high school. We found a bunch of old mattresses in the attic, and after basketball season was over, we threw them down there on the gym floor, and we'd have guys stand around the mattresses to hold them together, and so we enjoyed that. Every Saturday morning when I was growing up, I got up and I watched wrestling on TV. Now, some of you are just keeping a very straight face because you don't want to let on that you did the same thing. Probably still watch some of this hyped up stuff that they have now. And so I really enjoyed that. I was just kind of into that. And whenever I got to college, I saw a flyer that said that they were bringing the wrestling matches, professional wrestling matches, to the National Guard Armory there in Marshall. Man, I was so excited and so pumped. Dana let me go, and I got a ringside seat. And I was sitting there watching that wrestling match. And I know I was already saved and I was already called to preach. But there was a guy in the ring by the name of Bruiser Bob Sweetan. And he was one of the bad guys. And this guy that was wrestling him was one of my favorites. And he just hauled off and slapped him. And I don't know why I did it. But I hollered out, slap him again. And I'm right next to him, and he slapped him again. And when he did, when he slapped him, the guy turned around, sorry. Spit just flew out of his mouth. He leaned over the ropes and looked right at me. I'm just kind of smiling. Well, one of the reasons I went out there is because I pretended to be a reporter from the local radio station. And I had my little cassette recorder with my microphone plugged into it. And I got there and I said, I'm a reporter from the local radio station. And I'd like to interview the wrestlers. So after the wrestling match, they started escorting me around. And I started interviewing them until I got to Bruiser Bob Sweetan. And he remembered me. I said, Mr. Sweetan, can I interview you? He said, have you ever been in a wrestling match with anything? Have you ever wrestled with anything that was serious that was going on in your life? Have you ever just had something that was so difficult that you just had to, it stayed on your heart and you continued to wrestle with it? Maybe it was a difficulty that you were having to deal with. Maybe it was a great concern in your life. Maybe it was sin in your life. Maybe it was a sin in someone else's life that you, that was a loved one or a dear friend, and you were greatly concerned with them, and you just wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with it, and you pulled with them. This past week, I got a phone call, and my 102-year-old uncle passed away. Uncle Pee-wee Pervino went home to be with the Lord. World War II veteran, very active in his community, a deacon in his church there, someone that was always standing there with a smile to greet you when you came in the door there at my little home church. Went home to be with the Lord. When we finished his service late that evening, I took off over to Longview because my aunt, that I was her pick of the litter. I mean, I'm surprised her children will even have anything to do with me. She just treated me so special. And she went home to be with the Lord. My aunt struggled with a demon in her life, the demon of alcohol, as long as I knew her. And I would plead with her, and I would talk with her, and I would pray with her, and she would sometimes be able to be free of it. And she even came to church and worshiped with us here, because though I grew up around her up there in Northeast Texas, she and Uncle H.A. moved down here. And they live just up the road in Kennefick. And some of you may even know them or knew them. And I just wrestled with that for all these years. And now Aunt Annie, I got the call yesterday, has gone home to be with the Lord. I know she knew the Lord, but I know she had that struggle and that demon that she had to wrestle with, just like every one of us here in this room have things that we wrestle with on a regular basis. There was a man in Scripture that wrestled with an angel from the Lord. In chapter 32 of Genesis, Jacob had sent his family on across this body of water. It sent them on ahead of him. And the Bible says in verse 24, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And it actually means he struck him there. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name. And he said to him, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen the face of God. I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. What do you want to leave as a legacy? What do you want to leave as a heritage to those that are coming behind you? What is it that you are willing to wrestle with and not give up? Paul introduced me to a relative of his. Paul, he's your nephew you introduced me to yesterday. Amazing young man. Paul, he's blind, is that correct? But just a wonderful individual. Paul introduced me to him yesterday. Paul had told me about him for a number of years. And so as I met with him, I said, well, I want to tell you, Chad, right? I said, Paul here has told me about you, and it's an honor to meet you. And with the struggles that you have gone through, and he had his seeing eye dog there with him. And he said, well, you know, when this happened to me, I had two choices. I could just give up, or I could make the best of it and move ahead. Now, in your situation this morning, and in the situation of this church, and in the potential that this church has, understand with all potential, there comes problems, because problems are the source of opportunities in our lives. And in this church, we have tremendous opportunity to be a lighthouse to this world. And I want to ask you something this morning. Are you willing to wait alone? If you are the only person left, if you're the last one standing, are you willing to wait alone? Are you willing to get alone with God and plead to the Lord and talk to Him about your situation, about the potential, about the problem, whatever it is that you need to deal with? Are you willing to get alone with God? Are you willing to send everyone on ahead? Are you willing to get off by yourself? And are you willing to wait alone? You know, sometimes you maybe enjoy just being by yourself to think some things through. But most folks, not all, but most folks don't enjoy being alone. But I want to share with you, you don't have to be alone. When you're alone with God, you've never had more company than you have whenever you are in His presence. Are you willing to stay awake all night? Now, I'm literally asking you, are you willing to let everyone else go to bed and you stay up and talk with God about what's on your heart and what you're dealing with and the concerns of your life? Are you willing, if you don't have any big problems, but you don't know where you're going, you're just adrift, you're not sure, you know, what contribution am I making? Maybe you're at same point in life that I am, and you're wondering, okay, what's next? What's next? God, do you have something next for me? And maybe there's more than one opportunity, and you're trying to figure out which one it is. Are you willing to stay up and talk with God? Are you willing to wait up for an answer? Are you willing to experience the problems in life to be able to experience the great potential that God has for you. Now, what put Jacob in this situation? Jacob was a clever fellow. And as we read about Jacob in his life, Jacob was someone who was always outsmarting everyone else. Jacob, it started when he was born, when he and his twin brother was born, and his mother, Rebekah, enabled him to trick her husband, his father, into getting the birthright because Esau was the favorite. And because he was this big hunter. And so Isaac was just always so proud of Esau, but he didn't seem to express as much love and thrill in his life over Jacob as he did Esau. And so the trickster was born whenever his mother helped to trick his father into giving him the birthright. That made his older brother, or I'm not his older brother, but it made Esau mad at him. And Esau swore that he would kill him. Well, Jacob left. His mother sent him away because she didn't want Esau to kill him. And Jacob went off and he started growing up. And every chance he got, he was using his clever wit to outsmart or out-trick other people. And it finally came to a place as he had prospered himself tremendously, just a, quote, self-made man, like maybe you consider yourself. And guess what? Guess who showed up on the scene? Esau. And Jacob had run out of tricks. His bag of tricks was empty. You know what, friends? One of these days, our bag of tricks is going to run out. All the little ways that we have figured out how to get around, how to hide things, how to keep people from finding out things, all those little bag of tricks are going to be empty. And what is that? Where is that going to leave you? And what are you going to do? And how are you going to handle it? And the Bible says that Jacob sent everyone else ahead and he waited alone and he talked with God. And the Bible says he wrestled with the Lord. Have you ever wrestled with the Lord? Have you ever wrestled over, and I'm not talking about you're wrestling against God, because some in here are wrestling against him. You're wrestling against whether or not you even believe there is a God. You saw the things on the screen earlier. Brother Cody was announcing about the weekend that we have coming up with Alex McFarland. You remember we had Alex back in November and listened to this man of God speak to us. That weekend's going to be a tremendous weekend. Alex is going to speak to us that Sunday morning, but we also have partnered with our association, and that Sunday evening, what is that Sunday, the 24th? Sunday the 24th, Alex will be preaching that morning, and the pastor at First Baptist Church Dallas will be speaking here that evening. And so we have a great opportunity to partner with our association that evening, and a great opportunity for us to hear the Word of God that morning as well as that weekend, because parents, you're invited. Grandparents, you're invited to be a part of what Alex will be teaching. And students, you need to hear what Jason Jimenez will be saying. Because we live in a day in which people don't want to wait on the Lord, in which people don't believe in the resurrection, in which students can't wait to get to graduate from high school so they can go off and be on their own and out of the house and out of church, who can't give answers to why they believe what they're supposed to believe. And so the Bible tells us about Jacob realizing he had nowhere else to go. And so he waited alone. Are you willing to wait for your answer? Or will you run away from God? The Bible says, then he wrestled with the Lord. Are you willing to work for your answer? Are you willing to get into God's word? Are you willing to take whatever resources are available to you? Are you willing to go and talk with other people? Are you willing to get involved in a Bible study? Are you willing to work for your answer? Are you willing to wrestle with some area of unbelief? Are you willing to wrestle with some opportunity that God has presented to you that just may cause you to have to give up something that you really enjoy and that you become convinced is very important to you and to your family? Or maybe other people depend upon you for something, but you need to wrestle with that this morning. And you need to work for your answer. Are you willing to prove your worthiness? Are you willing to let the Lord try you and put you through the trials of life to see if you will hang in there or if you're going to bail out? It's one thing to give out. It's another thing to give up. Have you given up on God? Have you given up on a relationship? Have you given up on your church? Have you given up on someone? Have you given up on something you felt you were supposed to do and you've tried it and you failed, but you weren't willing to just keep wrestling with it? The Bible says that he was willing to wait for his answer. He was willing to work, wrestle for his answer. And the Bible said when he got his answer, he was a different man after that. You know what? You need to be prepared. You and I need to be prepared whenever we have something that we need to work on or something we need to work through, something that we need to wrestle with, that you may not come away how you thought you would come away. For the Bible says that he walked with a limp from that day forward. Are you willing to walk with a limp? Are you willing to be perhaps less physically than you were so that you can be all spiritually what God wants you to be? When John Wheat, our second full-time student pastor, came on board, John asked me, what do you attribute you tearing up your knee and tearing up your ACL, what do you attribute that to? And I replied immediately, grace. He said, grace? I said, yes, I was so involved in getting our church involved in sports and softball and in basketball that God just needed to remind me that he called me here to be pastor, not athletic director at Old River Baptist. Because I want to tell you something, folks, I could make a fool out of myself and embarrass everyone over an official's dumb call. I mean, official's call. And God reminded me. And so he tore up my right knee. And so I get up slow a lot of times because that happened whenever I was 30 or 31. So over 30 years ago, and I walk with a limp to this day when I first stand up. But I want to share something with you. As strange as this may sound, I wouldn't take for those four knee surgeries that I went through for God to teach me what he's taught me, because the reward that he has given me, allowing me the privilege of walking with a limp for him, is greater than any trophy that our church could sit in a case. Are you willing to wear scars? Or are you only interested in medals? Are you willing for someone to be honest enough with you that it may hurt your feelings? You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, we just don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Well, now listen, we don't want to just go and hurt someone's feelings, but if the Word of God hurts our feelings, that's okay. Do you wear your feelings on your shoulder? I'm not expecting, that's a rhetorical question, not expecting anyone to raise your hand. Do you wear your feelings on your shoulder? Do you wonder if people think you wear your feelings on your shoulder? Are you someone that wants to, you prefer to wear medals instead of scars? Well, if you really are serious about that and you want to wrestle with that, why don't you ask someone that has the gift of honesty, spelled B-R-U-T-A-L, brutal. Is that the way you spell it? You know, some people say, I'll be brutal. I'll be honest with you. They mean I'm going to be brutal. Well, why don't you ask someone who really loves you enough to really tell you what you need to hear rather than what you want to hear? And just ask them that. But I'm going to lay down a rule here. You cannot ask your husband or your wife. We don't have enough staff to do all the marriage counseling that might follow after that. So you ask a friend, hey, is there something in my life that maybe you've observed that you think I ought to work on? And I'm coming to you as a friend, and not that by me asking you that I think you're perfect or that I think you think you're perfect, but would you help me to wrestle with some things in my life that maybe I need to wrestle with? I tell you, it's great to be able to walk with a limp when you have wrestled with the Lord. All these things that's happened in my family, I have one uncle left, one family member on my daddy's side left, Uncle O'Neill. Uncle O'Neill is having seizures now, and he's in his 90s. And losing all these family members, my mother has one sister left. And so they're about to be gone, and so there's things that are, I think back over my life, and all those people that had impact and influence in my life, and people who taught me to wrestle with things, and to just keep on wrestling with them, and to not give up, and to not quit. And as I thought about this message, I don't know why the Lord brought it to my mind about my dad. And if you didn't know my dad, and none of you knew, you knew him some, but you didn't really know him. My dad could just do anything. And he was just my hero. And he was taken so quickly out of my life. He was only 68. And I tell you now that I just turned 65. 68 is young. Isn't it, Charlie? Anyway, 68 is young. But my dad, as busy a man, and Daddy's favorite line was he didn't believe in wasted motion. He was always doing something. He worked those 8-hour shifts. He would come home, and he had to have something to do. And if Daddy had something to do, that meant you had something to do. But something my dad would take time to do with me, among other things, is play checkers. Now, I don't know why I thought about playing checkers with my dad when I thought about this message today. But as just a little boy, I watched my dad play checkers, and I never saw him be beat. And we would sit there, and I would say, Daddy, would you play checkers with me? Now, I knew that I couldn't beat my dad, but just the fact that he would play checkers with me and let me try meant the world to me. And of course, I never beat him. But as he would beat me, he would teach things to me. And I wouldn't realize that he had set things up on the board, and I would move, and he would move in front of me. And I thought, my dad just moved in front of me. He knows I'm going to jump and take his checker. What is he thinking? I have just outsmarted my dad. Ooh, I couldn't wait to jump him, take that, and then dad went, tow, 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 tow. The best I ever did was daddy taught me how to bring things to a draw where you get over in the double corner, and I just go back and forth, and I still didn't win. But I want you to know, getting beat in checkers by my dad was better than winning on my own with anyone else. That my dad, as busy a man as he was, and in my eyes, as giant of a man as he was, would take time to play checkers with me. Oh, our Lord, so great and so awesome and so much on his plate, has time to wrestle with you and me. Would you stand?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.